John chapter 7. Let's go quickly. I'll try to be brief tonight. Like Elizabeth Taylor said to her eighth husband, I won't keep you long. And John chapter number 7, if you're there, say amen. I'm going to preach tonight on this. I'll just give you my thought. And we really need to stop enduring religion and start enjoying salvation. Amen? I want to cue you in here. I was trying not to spend too much time on introduction, but it is important that I give you the background. John 7 and verse 37, if you're there, say amen. There's three verses I want to give you tonight in this great passage. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Verse 39. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Let's pray. Our Father, I thank you for your presence tonight. I thank you for the music, the choir, the specials. Thank you for your presence this morning. And I ask you, God, just to help me as I do an exegesis of this passage and try to bring out its truths in context. And Lord, help us tonight. We'll praise you and honor you in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Jesus said, verse 38, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, or out of his inner being. He's talking about the believer. By the way, God wants you to be filled with his Holy Ghost. But he don't want you just to have it in. He wants to get it out of you. Amen? The Jews had many ceremonies. And I noticed the context in verse 37. It's real important. In the last day, that great day of the feast. Now, what feast was he talking about? He was talking about the Feast of the Tabernacles. Or it's been called also the Feast of Booths. Booths. This was one of the greatest feasts that the Jews had. It was one of great joy. It was one of great hilarity. I mean, they danced. I mean, they were actually celebrate. You said, what were they celebrating? They were celebrating the children of Israel's journey out of the wilderness into Canaan. And they were celebrating that, and here's what would happen. At the last day of that feast, that's the context that Jesus taught me. He said, at the last day, God, how many got that? At the last day. So what was it? What was happening on the last day? Now, how many went to Israel with me this last time? Yeah, many of you. Remember our trip to the city of David? Then we walked through all those tunnels that I couldn't hardly fit through. And Mike Blake, it was a miracle from heaven to get him through. Could you imagine him going through and then me going through? It was something to see. Ought to put that on film. But where we went through that tunnels, and we ended up to a place called the Pool of Siloam. Now, here's what would happen. The priest at the last day of this feast would get a golden pitcher. It's what he would do, Andrew. He would get a golden pitcher. The people would follow him down to the poor slum. Chad, I'm preaching. And he took that golden pitcher and put it in the water. Then they would follow him back up to the temple, chanting and dancing with all kinds of hilarity, rejoicing over this ceremony. Are y'all with me? And what he would do when he got up to the altar at the temple, he would take that pitcher of gold and he would let it run down the altar, and the people would chant and they would scream. And here's what they were chanting. Let me give you what they were chanting. They were chanting Isaiah chapter number 12 and verse number 3. Here's what they were chanting. With joy shall you draw out the wells of salvation. Now, notice the ironic scene here. They had the well of salvation right there in front of them, and they ignored him. See, what they were caught up in was ceremony and ritual. And I want to say something to you. Church can become a ceremony and a ritual if we don't watch out. Am I preaching? Here's what I want to say to you. We ought to quit enduring our religion and enjoying our salvation. Amen. I've had it about up to here with religion. I may be sick with some Baptists. Some Baptists make me sick at my stomach. They're so eat up with their form and their fashion. And if you're not like us, you're of the devil and you're on the way to hell. And I ain't preaching about no other faith but us, because I am a Baptist and I watch them. Am I preaching? And Jesus stood up, here's what he done. He cried with a loud voice, "If any man thirst," that's what he said. Now, I want to say this to you. Are you deeply satisfied in Christ? Do you have a deep down satisfaction of Christ in you? That's what he's talking about here. Not a superficial, not a surface type religion, not a ritual type thing. I'm talking about a deep down, deep, deep down relationship with Jesus Christ. See, some people think the answer is intellectual. They think the more you learn facts about theology, the deeper you'll be. Well, their heads get fuller, but their hearts get emptier. Some thinks that the answer is activity. The more they do in church and the harder they work, then the happier they'll be. I want you to know, activity is not the answer. We ought to be active, but that is not the answer of spiritual fulfillment. And some think the answer is emotionalism. Come on. By the way, and I want you to know something. We better be very careful in manipulating people's emotions. Whether they're old, whether they're young, I see it all over America, a manipulation of folks' emotions. And I want you to know something. What we have ought to be deeper than emotions. Because see, if emotions is what turns you on, then you're going to have a bigger fix the next time. Am I preaching? I mean, it's going to have to be something else. Then something else. I'll tell you what, I'm pretty emotional over the fact that Jesus saved me, that he brought me from sin and delivered me from my sins, my past, my present, and my future sins. I'm justified. I'm being sanctified. And one day I'll be glorified. I'm pretty emotional about that. I'm pretty happy too. I'll give you four things and we're done. See, I want you to have more than religion. I want you to have reality. By the way, some people come to church on Sunday morning and say, well, I done got a favor this week. Hello. I done him a favor. Hey, if you didn't come this morning and you haven't come tonight for a deeper relationship with God and came tonight to want to drink from the fountain and have God fill you, then something's wrong with us. Amen. Four things I'll quickly go through. Number one, I want you to notice, understand the subjects that he's talking about. Look at the text. Let's walk through the text. He cried with a loud voice. By the way, you folks that don't like loud preaching, you wouldn't like Jesus. Because every once in a while, he got loud. Well, he had to get loud because there's a lot of hilarity there and a lot of noise at the point. So he got louder than they were. If anybody man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Understand the subjects here. Jesus was speaking to thirsty people. I want to ask you tonight, are you thirsty? Or are you simply satisfied? I don't want to get to the place in my Christian life that I'm satisfied. I want all y'all to know I'm not satisfied. I'm still thirsty. I'm still wanting to drink from the fountain. I'm still wanting God to do something wonderful in my life, even in these old age years. I believe God can do something in my life. See, a lot of folks don't come to church with a burning thirst. Then some might come with a shallow thirst. Just give me a little. Don't overdo it, though. Don't try to get me to get sold all the way out. Don't get me so, I don't want to be so enthused that people will call me a fanatic. Well, fanatics is somebody closer than God than you are. Am I preaching? Here's what I'm going to give you this. If you're not thirsty, you really need to analyze your life. You know what I want? I want every young person, every teenager, every mom and dad, whatever your age tonight is. You say, but I'm older. Hold it. You can still be thirsty for God. We need to pray, God, help us get our life in order. We need to pray, God, will help us see reality. See, I tell you what's the problem in most churches today. Folks don't come thirsty. Just a routine. Let's come have our little hour. And God forbid Pastor Smith gets past 7 o'clock. And God forbid something break out in the church and people start testifying, shouting, and praising God. We can't have that. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm hungry for it. Amen. I'm hungry for people to want to let the redeemed. Hey, if y'all are all testify tonight and I didn't even get to preach, it wouldn't have bothered me. It would tell me something that you got something in here that you want to get out. Amen. We okay? Let me give you a second point real quickly. Then we need to understand the source. Amen? If any man thirst, let him, what? Somebody help me, follow me here. Let him come unto who? And drink. That's the source. Jesus was talking about himself when they were doing that ceremony. He was the well that they were singing about. Amen. See, you're not going to come to religion and get fulfillment. And by the way, you're not going to do rituals and get fulfillment. And I tell you, we got a lot of churches, and sometimes we get in this rut too. We have our little rituals. God help us. And by the way, we don't come to rules either. There's some fundamental Baptists, all they're concerned about is a rule here and a rule there and a rule here and a rule there. And I'll be quite honest with you, it's sickening. It is absolutely bothers me. I'm a little hesitant to say what I'm about ready to say, but I'm going to go ahead and say it, and y'all stay with me. Don't get shocked. I remember going to the south, down south to a certain city. I can tell you the city, I can tell you the church. I walked in, Lois. You ever walked in one, Lois, and you wanted to go out? Well, I walked in this one, and I did go out. Because when I walked in, here's what it said. I never got so aggravated in all my life. It said, you've seen it, Lois. You know what I'm talking about. It said, no tracks. It wasn't talking about gospel tracks. It talked about soundtracks. No slacks. And no blacks. Last I heard, God loves everybody. And I want you to know, I don't care what color you are, God wants in you joy unspeakable and full of glory, and he loves everybody. And I'll tell you what I done when I saw that. I walked out of that church, and I got mad. You see, got real mad? Real mad. By the way, I've got out of some meetings where people were so prejudiced and so narrow, and they got their little rules. We got a rule for this and a rule for that and a rule for that. Ladies and gentlemen, we can't legislate righteousness. It comes from the inside out. You get saved. You get right. You get the Holy Ghost in you. It'll affect you on the outside. Am I all right? Am I all right, Andrew? And by the way, we don't come to just resolve something. One of the biggest mistakes we make, sometimes we get the idea that if we want more of God, we want the fullness of the Spirit, and we want the living water, and we want reality. Let's just clean up our life and get right, pray, and study, and that'll be enough, and you'll be a candidate for blessings. That's like being in the quicksand. The more that person struggles, the deeper he sinks. See, it's not by works of righteousness which you have done, but it's according to his mercies hath he saved you. I put this down. I want everyone to hear this. Holiness is not the way to Christ. Did y'all get it? Holiness is not the way to Christ. But the way of Christ is the way of holiness. You don't get yourself holy to get Christ. You get Christ and you'll be holy. Am I all right, Chad? I'll tell you what we need to do. We just need to understand what the source is and who the source is. We don't work our way to the way. He said, I am the way. By the way, Joe, I think it's still grace. Don't wait until you get better. Don't wait till you get stronger. Bring your weakness, bring your frailties, bring all your mess, and God can make a miracle out of your mess, and out of your belly will spring rivers of living water. Number three, I'm moving. Look at verse 37, 38 again. Understand the secret. Corey, we was preaching on this morning. Corey came out of the church service this morning. I really appreciate what you said. He encouraged me. He said, your illustration about D.L. Moody really helped me. Because see, Corey in the last couple weeks has been praying for faith. You can pray for faith all day. Faith don't come by praying. It doesn't come by praying. Faith cometh by hearing. I'll tell you, one more faith, get in the Word of God. And learn the Word of God and see the promises of the Word of God. It'll encourage your faith. Notice the secret. Y'all with me? Verse 38. He that believeth on me. This is an amazing passage, because I'm going to challenge you on something in a moment. I want y'all to stay with me. I'm almost done. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. What's the secret? We drink of Christ. We appropriate and we assimilate by faith. He that believeth in me, as the scripture says. Ladies and gentlemen, we believe in Christ as this word. This Bible is a Jesus book. And by the way, drinking is not passive, it's active. There's a time when you're just going to have to take the Lord by what he says and by faith. Amen? We need to appropriate. We need to assimilate. We need to believe. And we need to receive. How many got that? We need to appropriate, Chad. We need to assimilate. We need to believe. And then we receive. Somebody say amen. You say, preacher, you're making it awful simple. I want you to know something. This Christian life is a faith way. Everything about our life, everything about you being saved is faith. Faith in the book, faith in the blood, faith in the blessed hope. Amen. Faith. You say, I don't have much. You can get more. Get in the Word. Right. Let me ask you, how many of you read it every day? Just read it every day. Amen, you say, well, I don't have no faith. Well, if you don't read it every day, you're not going to have faith. See, when you read the Bible, that's God speaking to you. Amen. Then you reciprocate and pray back to him. Amen. Amen. Yep. That's how it works. Right. See, I don't want to get past the fundamentals with you. The fundamental is we need to study the Bible more. We need to be students of the Bible. You know, as I'm preaching tonight, how am I preaching line upon line and precept upon precept? Yes. Now, I'll finish. Here's where I will give you a little challenge. Look at the last point. Look at verse 38 and 39. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. See, not only is there an income, by the way, I got all the Holy Spirit I ever gonna get when I got saved. Problem is, it's not us having the Holy Spirit, it's he just don't have us. But not only is there an inflow, there ought to be an outflow. See, when someone's saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, it ought to flow out on somebody else. Is your life flowing out to somebody else? Now, he's not talking about us just being a reservoir. A reservoir holds water. But he wants us to be a river flowing out and being a blessing to people. Now, I want you to look at verse, I'm closing. I promise you. Look at verse 38. He that believeth on me, Chad, are you looking at this? As the scripture hath said. All right, my challenge is to you. I've done this already, so I want you to know this. Go pick you up a concordance. Pick you up a concordance and take me to where he quoted. Hello. You're digging. What's this a reference to? Would you do me a favor? It's not referring to one scripture. It's actually referring to a whole network of scriptures. And I want y'all to see it, because it brings out a great truth. See, in the Old Testament, God had a temple for the people. But in the New Testament, are y'all with me? God has a people for his temple. Now, go to Ezekiel 47, and we'll close with this. I want to show you the passage it's talking about. It's not a verse, it's a whole series of verses. Ezekiel saw this, and look at verse number 1 of Ezekiel 47. If you're there, say amen. Ezekiel 47, there, say amen. Amen. And afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house. That house is the temple. And behold, waters issued out of from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east. And the waters came down from under, from the right side of the house and at the south side of the altar. Now I want you to notice this, the mysterious source of this river. Where'd it come from? It came from the temple. Where's it come from now? It comes from our life. And he's referring there, that is a future prophetic picture of the millennial temple, Chad. Amen? Now stay with me. I don't want to get over your head, but I want to stay with me. The mysterious source of the river. It flows past the altar. You know what the altar speaks of? How many of y'all know what it speaks of? It speaks of the crucifixion. See, we didn't get the Holy Spirit until Christ died and then was raised from the grave. And then the Holy Spirit came. It came, hey, by the way, the Holy Spirit first came to a few, select few in the Gospels when Jesus breathed on the Holy Spirit. And then he came in power on the day of Pentecost. Somebody help me preach. And by the way, the cross is a gigantic I that has been crossed out. It's no longer I, but Christ. Now look at verses 2-6. Not only the mysterious source, it came out of the temple. We are the temple. We need to flow out. Then the marked course of the river. Boy, I like this. I may shout here. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward and led me about the way without unto the other gates by the way that looketh eastward. I think right now I'm looking eastward. I believe I'm close. I think it's eastward. It's close enough for road work, okay? And when the man that had a line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits or 500 yards. And he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. And again he measured 1,000 or 500 yards approximately and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. And again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the loins. And after he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, and the waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. Now, this thing that started feeling, it just started feeling. And I tell you what, he was out there up to his ankles. That's a good place to start, Allison. But I think there's some better stuff than that. And then he got to his knees. Y'all with me? You know what some of y'all need to do? You need to get out at least in your ankles. And then maybe you want to get out to where it's here. And then if you really are thirsty and wanting God to flow out of you, then you get him up to here. And then when you get God moving in you such a great way, it'll come all the way up over here. Amen. You said, Preacher Smith, I'm going to have to swim if it gets that much. I want you to know, I wish we'd get in the Holy Ghost so much. I wish God had so much control that it would just overcome us. Woo! Am I preaching? You know, too many of us just want to stick our toe in the water. I want y'all to know something. When I got saved, I wanted everything God had for me. And you know what? I'm 72 years old. Got 2 more days before I pass you, Lois. And I'm 72 years old, and I'll be 73 Tuesday. And I still want it all the way up to here. I'm not satisfied ankle deep, and I'm not satisfied knee deep, and I'm not satisfied up to the loins. I want it all. I want God's power and his Holy Ghost to flow out of me. We are. I'm landing this plane. I promise. Please let me land it so you'll get a blessing from it. I'm on the way down. Whoo! Then I see the mighty force of the river. Look at it. Look at 7 and 8. Now when I returned, behold, at the bank of the river were many trees on the one side and the other. Then said he unto me, these waters issued out toward the east country are going down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. The mighty force. He saw it come out of the temple, and then it flowed all the way down. You know where it flowed to? How many of y'all went with me to Israel? And you went to the Dead Sea. Remember? It's dead, isn't it? Is there anything living there? Anything living there? Absolutely not. But ladies and gentlemen, ooh, glory. I'm giving you what God could do in your life now, but what's going to be like in a millennial. Do you know what's going to happen? When he comes and sets his feet at the Mount of Olives, it's going to cleave. And there'll be a great, very great river, and it'll flow all the way down to the Dead Sea. Whew. Y'all with me? I'm wrapping it up, I promise. Look in verse 10. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from En-Gedi, even unto En-Gileam. They shall be a place spread forth of their nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea. So what it's saying is the Dead Sea is going to be filled with fish like the Mediterranean Sea. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Are y'all with me? And then there's going to be fruitfulness in verse 12, where there were barrenness. And then verse 12, it also said there'll be health for their sickness. How many believe our world needs healing? And I want to tell you where it's going to come from. It's going to come from us. So here's what I'm saying. We'll get this river of living water. And where there was death, there'll be life. Whether there were failures, there'll be success. Whether there were barrenness, there'll be fruit. And whether there will be sickness, there'll be health. And what thrills me to death about all this, not only has that got a personal application, that's the fulfillment of that passage, Chad. When you get saved, and out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Amen. There'll be life where there was death. There'll be fruitfulness where there were barrenness. But it also points out to another great day. Doesn't it? Amen. And that day is when when the Lord comes back, he's going to usher him into this millennial. And you're going to see the very thing that was prophesied in Ezekiel 47, right before your eyes. And you'll see a river go down to the Dead Sea. You ladies, I remember what you did. You went out there and laid on it because it was dead and salty. There'll be a day, ain't gonna be dead and salty anymore. But I wanna ask you something. Is there too much deadness in your life? Maybe God wants some life. Is there too much sickness in our land? Maybe it needs some healing. You know what we need? I'll tell you what we need. It would start out with this church, and I'm done, for some of us come around this altar and say, God, I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty for revival in my family. I'm thirsty for revival in our country. I'm thirsty for revival in our community. I'm thirsty for revival in my house. I'm thirsty. Jared, you and Mackenzie thirsty? Jared, you and Jessica thirsty? Folks are coming already. I wonder how many thirsty people here. Stand with me. I'm going to go to the altar. And Chad, you take over the invitation. I'm thirsty tonight. Wonder how many of us just slip around the altar, Say, I'm thirsty. I want God. I want a drink. Our Father, you touch this invitation. And we'll praise you and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with